Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. I'm also a broker here at Daniels Trading and Stone X. We work with farmers, speculators, hedgers, online traders, managed, over-the-counter, Forex, everything in between. If you like this podcast, please go ahead and forward it along. If you want to check out my newsletter, you can text number 33777 with the message Turner. That's 33777 with the message Turner. Follow the instructions or just go to the website, turnerstake.com. If you're a client here and like any of these ideas, give me a call. All my, if you're not a client here and you're interested in working with us, my number here is 312-706-7610. All my contact information is in the show notes and on the website, turnerstake.com. All right, so let's get into it. I'm going to just quick, we had the big WASD report yesterday, and we're going to spend most of the podcast on that. I'm going to just take 2 minutes to talk about the election. And what it looks like is this is going to get dragged out. I think on the last podcast, we had said, you know, if it's close, it's going to look a lot like Bush-Gore and just get challenged in court. And this time around, it's not just one state that's close, like Florida. There's a handful of states that are close enough to challenge. There's so much money and power involved. This is going to have to see its natural course. We'll see how things go, but I would be surprised. I don't think we're going to see a resolution to the election until early or mid-December. That's just my gut feeling on it, and we'll see how the chips fall here. At this point, I wouldn't be surprised at any and all outcomes, however this goes. So probably have a little bit of a state of flux in the macro markets. And then for the subject of this podcast in the grain and ag markets, that's the focus here. So in my mind, over the next 4 to 6 weeks, macro markets, U.S. politics, state of flux, I can't see us going too far out of the range that we've been trading in. So far, as things develop. So that's that on the macro side. On the grain side, I'm going to start off with... corn or soybeans here? That's a really good question. Usually I know. Usually the report is so... You could just tell one is more important or one had bigger changes than the other. We're going to start with corn. All right, here we go. Corn market. Here's the thing. Yield came down from 178.5 to basically 175.8. So yield came down to basically 2.5 bushels. It was bullish. That's definitely bullish. Not only did the yield come down, but demand went up. Exports went up 325 million bushels. Now, feed and residual did come down. A little bit. So net on the use side, we had 250 more bushels because we did exports increased, feed and residual decreased, ended up having 250 million better. So what was interesting here between the production coming down and really the exports leading the demand side, overall ending stocks went from 2.1 and change to 1.7 billion. Stocks usage went from almost 15% to 11.5%. USDA raised their average on farm price from $3.60 to $4. That's a big deal. So that was, if I had to pick one story for the short term, I would pick the corn. I think the long-term story is in the soybeans, but we'll get to that in a second. With corn, what's going to be interesting here is the USDA just made a huge change. And you know, there was some debate if the USDA would increase the exports based on all the Chinese purchases. There's all these rules at the USDA about when they can make changes and are things based on policy or not. And if you remember podcasts back on the tariffs, and also the trade deal, the USDA was always slow to react to those because even though if the president said, hey, we're going to have tariffs, they can't reduce reduction until that tariff actually goes in place. When the trade deal was coming online and there's going to be all this extra demand that the market was pricing in, USDA couldn't change their demand figures on the WASDE until that deal was inked, right? So that was a little interesting. That was interesting. I was under the impression that we wouldn't see the big export bump, but we did on the corn market for whatever reason. That's fine. It's good for the bulls. 1.7 ending stocks and 11 stocks usage. It isn't tight, but it's getting snug. And it's definitely adequate and in no way can be interpreted as burdensome. So at 11% stock to use, considering the rest of the world is pretty much out of corn and the United States is really the last resort for any kind of corn exports. Like we're kind of like the Saudi Arabia of oil, right? If you need it and no one else has it, Saudi Arabia will. If you need corn, no one else has it, the United States will. And we're seeing our ending stocks coming down here. So that's very interesting. So corn should be $4 across the board. I believe it is as of the close yesterday. That's how it should be. And it needs to stay there. And it has implications for next year's prices and acres. One last thing on corn. Now going forward, everyone's going to be watching exports. And also South American weather is really critical. We have a strong La Nina. We need a good corn crop. Out of South America, it is dry in Argentina, it is dry in southern Brazil, and when you get strong La Ninas, you tend to have lower production in South America. Sometimes the central or eastern part of Brazil, the northern part of Brazil can have a little bit better production in a strong La Nina year, but it never comes close to making up for basically the loss you get in Argentina and the southern part of Brazil. Time will tell. But it's dry now, and the forecast, while there's rain here and there, it's not enough. It's not enough to safely assume trendline yields are better in South America. It is early, so I doubt we're going to see production cuts, just like in the United States. No one makes yield adjustments in April or May. You see those in June, July, and August. And we're not there yet in South America, but it's not looking good. Also, keep in mind, it's dry in the United States for now it's November. But it is dry in the United States, and you take a look at the forecasts, over the next 3 months, which, I don't know, you can make the argument on how reliable those are, but if you do look at them, it's not calling for a ton of precipitation in the Midwest either, and we do have a lot of dry areas in important parts, like central and southern Illinois and western Iowa, and really the western part of the United States and the Southwest have some dryness issues too, so that'll be monitored. Soybeans. All right, so bullish corn. It's bullish corn, and corn was up big yesterday. So it was bullish corn, and it deserved to be. Soybeans. What's interesting about soybeans is the USDA reduced the yield by 1.2 bushels. So we went from 51.9 to 50.7. That, in turn, brings down production about almost a million bushels. And then when you factor in just a slight change to the residual, you get an ending stocks that's 100 million bushels lower. Not changing demand, but mind you, just changing production. And we go from an ending stock of 290 to 190. That's tight. I mean, we're under 200 stocks. I mean, I think I've said in the past, you get to under 300 into the 200, soybeans tends to deserve to be 10 bucks in the front months and over. And then new crop challenging 10. You get under 200. Old crop, 11 bucks makes sense. I mean, the new crop and everything across the board should be over 10. And you get into this extreme price rationing. So not extreme, can be, potential to be extreme. You're definitely in price rationing mode, and it has the potential to get worse. At 190 million ending stock, stock to use is about 4.2%. Average farm price, USDA raised it from 980 to 1040. So that's the average farm price that the USDA is going to put on this. And they didn't even change demand. I mean, the way that the exports are going, we're on pace to be well over 2.2 billion. So world has to price soybeans high enough for that not to happen, so we don't run out of soybeans, because the crush is the crush is the crush. What happens is, if you need soybeans domestically for crushing it to meal, it's going to be cheaper for those local processors to buy it locally than someone halfway across the world to pay all those export prices, the price at the Gulf, everything to buy them, right? You can probably like throw a $2, you know, a dollar or two on the price. So for the, you know, when you consider all the export costs. So the crush is very inelastic. If the USDA says the crush is 2.18 billion billion bushels, it's going to be around there. And in the years past, where it's like 2012 and 13, and, you know, back in, I think, 7 and 8, when we had real tightness in the soybean market, crush did not change much. It's the exports that changed. The export is where the price rationing happens. So soybeans have to continue to rise to bring the export projections down. And right now we're on pace to have higher exports than the USDA is projecting. We probably need to have it, we probably need the pace to slow down just to be at a 190 million carryout. And if it does get, the pipeline for soybeans is about 100 million. It's very difficult for soybeans to be under 100 million carryout. So we only have 90 million now bushels in soybeans to work with. Corn's number is about 600, like that's between 600 and 700. You just can't get corn stocks below that level. I mean, that's the minimum pipeline level. Soybeans around 100 million. So something to keep in mind too, as we talk about price rationing. Again, it's all about South America now and U.S. demand. And if South America has weather issues and production issues, it's how you get beans in the teens. It really is. We're at 190 million ending stocks, plus strong demand in the United States, plus a serious La Nina in South America, has the potential to, you know, to rally soybeans that high. And it would be supportive of corn and wheat. Corn is not there at that level, and neither is wheat, but soybeans could be. Which, we're about 10 minutes into this podcast. I now want to switch over to 2011 real quick, because 2021 real quick, because we have been spending the past few weeks talking about our outlooks for 21. I'm going to post my tables this morning. They're updated with the WASDE results. But what I really like about these tables is I've been talking about acreage mix, okay? And what's important about this conversation we're having right now is I've been getting questions, and rightfully so, from farmers and traders I work with, asking, are these prices going to last and for how long? Because you can, especially from a farmer's perspective, sometimes these prices come along and they don't last long. Sometimes these prices come along and can be, up here for a few months to a year, right? And that's more likely. We're going to be up here for a while, especially in the soybeans. 10, 11, maybe 12 bucks, and corn I expect to be above, around or higher than 4 for a while too. This is why I'm going to post in the newsletter today, and I'll put the tables in the show notes and on the blog. If we typically have about 220 to 230 million acres of corn plus wheat plus soybeans every year, and it just depends on prices, and those variable acres, let's just call them like those, 10 million acres, if they get planted or not, are part of the prevent plant. They're on the fringe. If they're not the highest productive acres, if prices are really good, they get planted. If they're not, they don't. Or maybe they go into something else that year. We've only been above 230 once. I want to 230 million acres once in the past 10 or 20 years. I want to say it was right after the drought years. Like they always say in the commodity world, high prices cure high prices, right? Because then everyone and their brother is planting whatever it is that's, such high price. I want to say it was 2014 where we had the largest acres that I can remember. And it was right after those huge years of 12 and 13, which is normally how these things go. So if we got up to those levels again, which is probably the best levels, we're going to be with wheat 46 million acres. So 230, which would be the high range, minus 46. So that leaves 184 million acres for corn and soybeans. So at best, and I don't even think it's going to happen, but at best, soybeans and corn can plant 92 million acres each, or, you know, if you give one to corn, you got to take one away from soybeans, but something like that. Right now, the USDA in the baseline is talking about 90 million acres corn and 89 million acres soybeans. That's unrealistic. At the current, right now, if we did 89 million acres of soybeans, we'd have ending stocks projected for next year at 155. So we're already at 190 now. We got production issues in South America and strong demand from China. And if we only plant 89 million acres, which is a 6 million increase, we're at 155. That can't happen. We got to price the market much higher to bring in more acres. Now, keep in mind, as you bring in more acres, you're starting to add them from less production, a little bit lower production than we've been used to. And what's interesting too about the acreage situation is, you know, when you're on the lower side, like in that 220, or, you know, if you're in 220 or lower on the million acres, you got a little bit more productive land. So the trend line yield deserves to be just adjusted a bit higher. You bring in more acres, the trend line yield expectations may just be a tad lower. Regardless, if we have 90 million acres of soybeans, our ending stocks, this is for new crop 2021-22, ending stocks are 205. Just based on the USDA numbers for the old crop that we had yesterday, if we're 91 million acres soybeans, ending stocks 255, if we're soybean acres are 92 million, which would be a 9 million add year over year, which a lot of people think is unrealistic and won't happen, we're at 300 million ending stocks. By the way, 300 million ending stocks is not tight, but it's very snug. And, you know, you still get a range of futures prices between, you know, $8 and $12. And the average on-farm price might be in the low nines, but you get the summer rallies into the 10 area. Okay, so that's the best case scenario for soybeans in terms of being supply. And that's not assuming, South America has an average yield, an average crop this year. 92 million acres soybeans, South America has an average crop, ending stocks for the United States, not for this year, but for next year, is 300 million, best you can get. So to me, that means soybeans are going to be above 10 for a long time, across the board, well into the spring and probably into the summer, and it has more upside than downside if you use your baseline as 10 bucks. I know we're in the mid-11s right now, and that's going to depend on what happens in South America if we go beans in the teens or not. And also, too, what happens if we do get those acres, right? We have to buy these acres and make sure we get almost a near record all-time corn plus wheat plus soybean acreage number, right? And we're still only at 300 for next year on the ending stocks and a less than a 7% stocks usage. So soybeans look very bullish. I mean, I would think just based on the numbers, which not everything always works the way, you know, an economist would say, but you'd think you'd see at least 90 million acres of soybeans, maybe even closer to 91 or 92. For corn, right now the USDA baseline has corn at 90 million acres, meaning we'll be lose one, you know, from year over year. That's kind of hard to see with corn above $4. Usually with corn, if farmers can get over $4 or close to it, they're going to want to plant corn, typically. So, you know, at an 180.5 BPA bushel per acre and a 90 million acres, ending stocks for next year, not this year. We're at 1.7 this year. But if we only plant 90 million acres, which the USDA's preliminary report was, year over year, there's no change in ending stocks. It goes from about 1.7 to 1.7. And corn's still above $4 and subject to weather rallies. Into, let's say, 450 or something like that. If we plant 91 million acres, we'll have a 1.9 projection. And if we go 92 million acres in soybeans, we'll have about a 2 billion carryout. So, and then we go back to normal, you know, prices of corn between like 340 and 420. I think it's in the market's best interest and farmers' best interest here to plant soybeans. If we do, and when you look at this table, if we do go record acres next year, it means probably 92 million acres of corn and 92 million acres of soybeans, which you still have tight stocks or adequate or snug stocks of soybeans, but adequate stocks of a 2 billion carryout on corn. So it's some very interesting projections. There are going to be some very interesting decisions farmers are going to have to make over the next couple of months. And I personally think the market's going to see this, and it's going to be supportive of soybeans, just to remind everyone how much more dire, how much more serious the soybean situation is over corn. And it's the market's job to really outprice soybeans over corn. So if corn's at $4 and we really need soybean acres, we got to be at least 2.6 to 2.7 over. So 4 times 2.6 is 1040. A new crop is probably right there, and that's where it has to be minimum. You know, 4 times 2.7, 1080. So I've been saying new crop soybeans should be about 1040 to 1080. If new crop corn is going to be around $4, which it is. And NOVE's only at 1023. So November soybeans has to rally, I think, another 20 to 60 cents, which would put new crop, which would put old crop at $12. Is that out of the question? I don't think so. I think it needs to be there to get those acreage, especially if we get continued issues in South America. If the one caveat to all this is if the weather just starts to turn in South America, then yeah. And then, you know, we do come back down. We'll still be adequate to somewhat tight and not, you know, and not have a major issue on our hands. But it's going to make that South America weather so critical. There's an old saying, bull markets always let you in at some point. It usually, in this, what's going to happen here, if we are going to be in a bull market like we think we are, it'll probably be rain and probably some lack of demand news for a while that chases the funds and, you know, the Johnny come latelys to the party on the long side to create that vacuum. And that would be your opportunity. So if you need any help with it, you have any questions, want to come up with any strategies, we've been using futures. I've been actually really liking the option spreads. We've been selling puts and buying call spreads. They're just certain levels in the soybean and corn market. I just don't think we're going to be at down below, so I don't mind selling a premium on that. Kind of make a synthetic futures. We've been using that to make synthetic futures positions with basically very low premium. There is some margin involved, but very low premium involved in those kind of things. So if you're interested in that stuff with your client or just thinking about using us, give me a call. Number is 312-706-7610. I'll put in the show notes, the tables, and on the blog. If you like Turner's Take, you like the podcast, please give it a positive review on iTunes. That's how people find us. It's part of our marketing strategy. If you want to check out the newsletter, go ahead and just get on your phone. You can text number 33777-33777. Put the message Turner in there when you send it to that number and follow the instructions. You can also go to turnerstake.com and check out the newsletter there too. Again, I work with farmers, speculators, hedgers, broker-assisted, online trading, managed futures, OTC, Forex. We do everything here. Daniel's Trading is now part of StoneX. I'm now part of StoneX. So if you need anything, let me know. Always happy to talk. Otherwise, have a great day and enjoy the rest of your week.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's Trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.